And now, my dear Hasin, to give you a more detailed explanation of the process of transformation of cosmic substances through beings in general, let us take as an example the common presence of your favorites. Although the process of transformation of substances for the continuation of the species no longer takes place either in us or in your favorites exactly as it did in the first Tartar cosmoses who were transformed into beings, we shall nevertheless take them as an example, since the transformation of cosmic substances for the needs of the most great common cosmic Trogo Auto Egocrat proceeds through their common presences exactly as it did through the first Takara cosmoses. At the same time, you will acquire some information about several other minor details of their strange psyche, and also about how, in general, they understood and regard their being duty in the sense of serving the common cosmic process of Iranoranimage, destroying, for the beatification of their bellies, everything provided according to law and foreseen for the welfare of the whole megalocosmos. As for the peculiarities of the transformation of cosmic substances, owing to which at the present time the continuation of the species proceeds in a different manner for different beings, I will now only say that the difference depends on the place of concentration of the sacred Ashagi Protokahari, that is, on the place of concentration of these cosmic substances, which are the results of the last stopender in the common cosmic ensemble Izar. Now, my boy, I shall repeat once more, all your favorites, even the contemporary ones, are, like us and like all the other three-centered beings of our megalocosmos, just such apparatuses for the great cosmic Trogo Auto Egocrat as were the original Tatarta cosmoses, from whom arose the first ancestors of the beings now existing on the planet Earth, as well as of those on all the other planets of our universe. Thus, through each of them, the cosmic substances arising in all seven stopenders of the sacred Heptaparaparshanak could be transformed, and all of them, even the contemporary ones, besides serving as apparatuses for the most great cosmic Trogo Auto Egocrat, could have the possibility of absorbing from the cosmic substances transformed through them everything required for the coding and perfecting of both higher being bodies. For indeed, each three-brained being arising on this planet of yours represents in himself, in all respects, as does every three-brained being in our universe, an exact similarity to the whole megalocosmos. The difference between each of them and our great megalocosmos is only one of scale. In this connection, you should know that your contemporary favorites are very fond of a notion they got hold of somewhere, which they either sense instinctively or repeat automatically, I don't know which, and express in the words, "We are made in the image of God." These unfortunates do not even suspect that of all their notions about cosmic truths, this expression is the only true one. And in reality, each of them is the image of God. Not of that God they picture with their bob-tailed reason, but of the real God, as we sometimes call our common megalocosmos. Each of them, down to the smallest detail, is the exact image, of course, in miniature, of the whole of our megalocosmos, and in each of them there are all the separate functionings which actualize in the megalocosmos the cosmic harmonious Iranoranimage, or exchange of substances, maintaining the existence of everything existing as one whole. This expression of theirs, "We are made in the image of God," can serve us here as a very good illustration of how far perceptive being logic, or as it is sometimes called, amnophinian mentation, is already atrophied in them. Although they employ this formulation, which corresponds to the truth, when it comes to expressing its exact meaning, it is the same with this as in general with all their verbal formulations. Even if they wished actively and sincerely, with their whole presence, to impart their inner representations and essential understandings of it, what would come out of their strange, short-sighted mentation would at best be something of this sort. Good. If we are made in the image of God, that means that means God is like us and also looks like us. And that means our God has the same mustache, beard, nose as we have, and also wears clothes as we do. He wears clothes, doubtless, because he likes modesty, just as we do. It was not for nothing that he expelled Adam and Eve from paradise, only because they lost their modesty and forgot their fig leaves. In some of the beings there, particularly of recent times, their amnophonian being mentation or perceptive logic has deteriorated to such a point that in their picturing they can see this God of theirs very clearly, with a little comb sticking out of his left vest pocket, with which he sometimes combs his famous beard. This super peculiar amnophinian being representation of their God proceeded in your favorites chiefly as a result of the Hasnamusian manifestations of those learned beings who, as you remember, assembled in the city of Babylon and began inventing together various maleficent fictions about that God of theirs, which by chance were afterwards spread everywhere on that ill-fated planet, and since, at that period, the three-brained beings there were existing particularly selzelnueling, that is, particularly passively, as regards the being efforts proper to three-centered beings, they thoroughly absorbed and appropriated these maleficent fictions. Later, in their transmission from generation to generation, these fictions were gradually crystallized into such monstrous logionestarian material that in the psyche of the contemporary three-brained beings there began to proceed this exceptionally distorted amnophinian being mentation. And the reason why they picture their God to themselves with a long beard is because among the maleficent fictions of the learned beings of Babylon it was said, among other things, that that famous God of theirs had the appearance of a venerable old man with a long flowing beard. But in their imaginings about their God, your contemporary favorites have gone still further. They picture him as an old Jew, since in their bob-tailed notion of all sacred personages come from that race. Be that as it may, my little Hasin, each of your favorites, in his whole presence, is in every respect the exact image of our megalocosmos. I once told you that in them, as in us, the head, the place of concentration of special cosmic substances, the total functioning of which corresponds exactly to the totality of functions that our most holy protocosmos fulfills for the entire megalocosmos. This concentration of substances localized in their head they call the head brain. The separate osaniacus or poptoplasts of this localization, or as terrestrial learned beings call them, brain cells, are destined to fulfill exactly the same purpose for the whole presence of each of them as is fulfilled for the whole of our great universe by the perfected highest bodies of three-brain beings that have already united themselves with the most holy Sun Absolute, or proto-cosmos. When these highest parts of three brain beings, perfected to the corresponding gradation of objective reason, attain this union, they fulfill precisely that function of osaniakis, or cells of the head brain, which our uni-being common father endlessness foresaw at the creation of the now existing world, when he graciously decided to make use in the future of those coatings that obtained independent individuality in the Tatarta cosmoses as an aid for himself in the administration of the enlarging world. Further, in each of them, in what is called their spinal column, another concentration is localized called the spinal marrow, which contains those denying sources that in their functioning fulfill the same role in relation to the head brain as the second order newly arisen sons of the megalocosmos fulfill in relation to the most holy protocosmos. It must be noted without fail that in former epochs on your planet, your favorites knew something about the specific functioning of different parts of their spinal marrow, and even knew and adopted various mechanical means for acting upon the corresponding parts of it during periods when some disharmony or other appeared in their psychic state, as they expressed it. But little by little, the information relating to this sort of knowledge also evaporated. And although your contemporary favorites know that there are certain concentrations in this spinal marrow of theirs, they have not the slightest notion for what function they were designed by great nature, and simply name them nerve nodes of the spinal marrow. It is these nerve nodes of their spinal marrow that are the sources of denial in relation to the shades of affirmation in their head brain. Precisely as the second order sons are the sources of denial in relation to the various shades of affirmation of the most holy protocosmos. And, just as in the megalocosmos, all the results issuing in the course of the flow of the fundamental process of the sacred heptaparaparshanok, on the one hand from the affirmation of the most holy protocosmos, and on the other from the various shades of denial of the newly created sons, and thereafter serve as a reconciling principle for everything newly arisen and already existing. So, in your favorites also, there exists a corresponding localization for the concentration of all results issuing from the affirmation of the head brain and from all the shades of denial of the spinal marrow. And these results thereafter serve as a regulating or reconciling principle for the functioning of the whole presence of each of them. As regards the place of concentration of this localization, which serves the common presence of terrestrial three-brain beings as a regulating or reconciling principle, it should be noted that in the beginning, in them as in us, this third concentration existed in your favorites in the form of an independent brain, localized in the region of what is called the breast. But after the process of their ordinary being existence began to change markedly for the worse, great nature, thanks to certain causes flowing from the common cosmic trogo-autoegocratic process, was compelled to change, without destroying its actional functioning, the system of localization of this brain of theirs. That is to say, great nature gradually dispersed this brain, which had been concentrated in one place, into small localizations over their whole common presence, but chiefly in the region of what is called the pit of the stomach. They themselves, at the present time, call the totality of these small localizations in this region the solar plexus, or the complex of nodes of the sympathetic nervous system. In these nerve nodes, scattered over the whole planetary body, all the results obtained from the affirming manifestations of their head brain and denying manifestations of their spinal marrow, and these results, once they are fixed in the nerve nodes scattered over the whole of their common presence, serve as the neutralizing principle in the further process of affirmation and denial between the head brain and the spinal marrow. In the same way as in the megalocosmos, the sum of all the results of the affirming manifestations of the protocosmos and the various shades of denial of the newly arisen suns serve as the neutralizing force in their further process of affirmation and denial. And so, like ourselves, the three brain beings of the planet Earth are not only apparatuses with the qualities of all three forces of the fundamental common cosmic triamasikamno for transforming cosmic substances required for the most great Trogo Auto-Egocrat, but also have the possibility, while absorbing these substances coming from three independent sources, of assimilating, in addition to the substances indispensable for their own existence, certain substances destined for the coating and perfecting of their own higher being bodies. In this way, those three-sourced substances entering their common presence for transformation are, for them, just as for us, a threefold being food. In other words, those substances which, on the path of their returning evolutionary ascent to the most holy protocosmos from the sacred Ashagar Protohari, that is, from the last stopinder of the fundamental sacred Heptaparaparshanak, are converted with the aid of their own planet into higher corresponding surplanetary formations and enter the three brain beings for further transformation as their first being food, namely their ordinary food and drink. The second sourced substances arising from the transformation of their own sun and of all the other planets of their solar system, by means of whose radiations they penetrate the atmosphere of their planet, enter into them for further evolutionary transformation again just as with us, as the second being food, which is, as they say, the air they breathe. And it is these substances in the air that serve for the coating and maintenance of the existence of their second being body. Finally, the substances of the first source, which for them as well as for us are a third kind of being food, serve for the coating and perfecting of the highest being body itself. But, alas, it was in relation to these sacred cosmic substances that those sorrowful results occurred and continue to occur among your unfortunate favorites from all the abnormalities established by them in the ordinary process of their being existence. Although these sacred substances of the higher being food have never ceased to enter into them, they enter, particularly in contemporary beings, only spontaneously, without any participation of their conscious intention, and only in the amount required for the transformations proceeding through them for the purposes of the common cosmic trogo-auto-egocratic harmony and for the automatic continuation of their species demanded by nature. When the abnormal conditions of ordinary being existence were finally fixed there, with the result that both the instinctive and the intentional striving for self-perfecting disappeared from their essence, they not only ceased to feel the need to absorb these cosmic substances consciously, but even lost the knowledge and understanding of the existence and significance of higher being foods. At the present time, your favorites only know about the first being food, and they know about that simply because willy-nilly they cannot help knowing about it, and their use of it has already become a vice for them, and occupies an equal place alongside the other weaknesses that have gradually been crystallized in them as consequences of the properties of the maleficent organ Kundabuffer. Up to this time, not one of them has even become aware that this first being food is composed almost exclusively of substances necessary for the maintenance of the existence of their coarse planetary body, which is a denying source, and that this first being food can provide almost nothing for the higher parts of their presence. As for the higher cosmic substances of which a certain quantity must of necessity be transformed through them for the continuation of their species and for the maintenance of the general harmony of the common cosmic ensemble usar, your contemporary favorites have no need at all to disturb their inner god self-calming about it, since, as I've already said, this transformation proceeds quite spontaneously in them, without the participation of their own conscious intention. It's interesting to note, however, that in the beginning, that is, soon after the destruction of Organ Kundabuffer and the three brain beings breeding on this planet of yours, they knew about these two higher being foods and made use of them with conscious intention. And certain beings of the continent of Atlantis, during its final period, even considered the process of the absorption of these higher being foods as the chief aim of their existence. The beings of the continent of Atlantis then named the second being food Anarlus, which meant help for the moon. And they named the third being food the sacred Amarkudan, which signified for them help for God. As regards the absence in the psyche of your contemporary favorites of a conscious need of absorbing these higher sacred cosmic substances, I wish to draw your attention to one very important consequence, very sorrowful for them. The fact is that while ceasing to absorb intentionally the cosmic substances necessary for the arising and existence of the higher being parts, the very striving for self-perfection disappeared from their common presence, as well as the capacity for what is called intentional contemplation, which is the principal factor for the assimilation of those sacred cosmic substances. So, from then on, in order to make sure that the required quantity of these substances would be absorbed and assimilated, nature gradually had to adapt herself and arrange that in the course of the whole process of their existence, such unexpectednesses should occur to each of them as are not at all proper for any three-brain being of our great megalocosmos. And poor nature was compelled to adapt herself to this abnormality, so that thanks to these unexpectednesses, certain intense being experiencings and active deliberations might proceed in them automatically, independently of themselves, and so that thanks to these active deliberations, the required transformation and assimilation of the necessary sacred particles of the higher being foods might also proceed in them automatically.